हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ पुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करभावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so now we had Arjuna's on the mountainside, sitting in the place where he had met Indra, and doing his austerities. Then, by the request of the sages, then Shiva is coming to meet Arjuna. And just at this time, when Shiva has come with his associates, then a wild boar, a demon, the Danava in the form of a wild boar is running, roaring and running at Arjuna, who then hearing the roar takes his bow, strings it, and sets an arrow, saying, "I've done you no harm, so therefore if you're attacking me, then he will kill him." At the same moment, Shiva also trained his arrow on the boar and shouted to Arjuna, "Stop! This dark-colored boar is mine. I saw him first and have already aimed my arrow at him." Arjuna ignored Shiva's claim and released his arrow, which sped towards the massive boar. Shiva simultaneously released his arrow, and the two shafts both struck the Danava at the same time. There was a sound like thunder as the arrows hit the demoniac boar's rock-like body. Assuming his natural form, the demon gave up his life with a terrible cry. So then he was in that form as a boar, but then he got hit. So then, their meditation is broke. So then he takes on his natural Danava form. Arjuna looked around at the hunter. His body shone like a golden mountain. He was surrounded by hundreds of women. Arjuna glared at him. "Who are you, dressed like a hunter and wandering in this solitary forest, surrounded by your followers? Are you not afraid? Why have you pierced this boar, which I targeted first? Do you not know that this is against all accepted practices in hunting? Indeed, you have insulted me, and so I will punish you by taking your life." The hunter replied with a smile, "O hero, you need not be concerned about me. I always dwell in this forest. What brings you here? You are obviously royalty and used to living in luxury. How is it that you have adopted an ascetic life?" Arjuna held his bow tightly. "Depending on the strength of my arms, I live in this forest. See how I killed this fearful Rakshasa who was intent on killing me." The hunter laughed derisively. "It was I who killed this one, not you. I saw him first. And it was by my arrow that he was sent to death's abode. You are overly proud of your strength. Do not accuse others when you yourself are at fault. O wicked-minded wretch, you have wronged me and will therefore not escape with your life. Stand and receive my arrows. Try to defend yourself if you can." Infuriated, Arjuna immediately struck the hunter with a cluster of swift arrows, but he simply smiled and received Arjuna's shafts without flinching. He called out, "O wretch, send your fiercest arrows, those that are capable of piercing to the heart." Arjuna released another volley of shafts. Becoming angry, Shiva sent back hundreds of his own arrows. A great battle then ensued. Showers of snake-like arrows sped back and forth. As Arjuna counted the hunter's arrows, he was surprised to see that, although struck by countless shafts, his adversary was not affected. The Pandava increased the force of his attack, but the hunter stood unmoved. Seeing that he could not shake his foe, Arjuna called out in admiration, "Excellent, well done." But because Kshatriyas, they appreciate the skill and the prowess. In other words, that Kshatriya nature, that virya, that chivalrous spirit and skill. And so this hunter is so good at fighting, countering the arrows. He receives the arrows, even if he gets hit, it doesn't affect him. So he's praising that he's such a great hunter. Arjuna looked with wonder at the hunter. Clearly, this was not an ordinary man. It wasn't just a regular old hunter. And anyway, the first thing would have been, you know, one that he's already all the way up there. So he can't be a regular hunter, since Indra had already mentioned that only by having great piety could you be up at that level in the mountains. So he wouldn't be just a regular. And two, he's there with hundreds of women. What regular hunter has hundreds of women with him? No one could withstand the force of thousands of arrows shot from the Gandiva without being moved. Perhaps he was a celestial. Arjuna decided to use his mystical weapons. No matter who this was, even if it was a Gandharva or Yaksha, unless he was actually Shiva himself, Arjuna intended to kill him. Arjuna then invoked weapons that fired thousands of arrows blazing like the sun. Shiva cheerfully received all his shafts as a mountain receives a downpour of rain. Then, to Arjuna's amazement, he found that his celestial quivers were suddenly exhausted. How is that possible, right? Because they're celestial, they're inexhaustible. That was the benediction. And so they would never run out. Who was this who swallowed up all his arrows? With what could he fight now? Arjuna raised his great bow like a club and rushed at the hunter. He struck him a number of heavy blows, but Shiva snatched away his bow and drew it into his body. It simply vanished. Arjuna then drew his sword and brought it down upon the hunter's head with all his strength, but it shattered to pieces. Arjuna was afraid, but he continued to fight. This time he lifted rocks and boulders and threw them at the hunter. He tore up trees and slung them at the hunter. Still he made no impression. Arjuna's mouth smoked with wrath. He rushed at his foe and pummeled him with his fist. Shiva struck him back, and hand-to-hand fight ensued. Right, so in other words, she was very pleased with the the combat with the bows and arrows, you know, but he wanted to taste other forms of fighting, you know, how much Arjuna knows. So then they're using other weapons like that are not, and then they're coming down to hand-to-hand combat. They struck one another grappled furiously, each seized the other and shoving him with full force. Sparks and smoke flew from their bodies. Finally, the hunter released Arjuna. Then he fell back, dazed, almost unconscious. Arjuna looked at the hunter in astonishment. He had failed to make the least impression on him. Surely this must be the exalted god Shiva. No one else could have fought with such power. Because he's fought, remember before, is that when he went for a walk with Krishna, and they were down at the Jamuna in Kalindiya there. Then Agni came. You know, and he wanted to burn the Kandava forest. So at that time, Indra with the host of demigods came, and he was fighting with them and defeating them. And then when it was announced that, you know, they were about to be defeated, but then it was announced that that Takshaka wasn't in the forest. So then Indra thought, well, no use continuing fighting. So then they left. So that's his point: is Shiva would be the only one he couldn't defeat. Right, and of course Vishnu is above that, but no one else could have fought with such power. Arjuna retreated to a distance and quickly fashioned an image of Shiva from the earth. He worshipped it with flowers, and as he did so, he saw flowers falling onto the hunter's head. Now he had no doubt. This was the deity he was seeking. Arjuna fell headlong at the god's feet, and as he did so, he felt all his fatigue dispelled. Shiva was pleased with Arjuna, and he spoke to him in a voice as powerful as roaring clouds. O Falguni, today you have satisfied me. There is no warrior equal to you in courage or patience. O best of the Bharata race, your strength is practically equal to mine. You are formerly a rishi and have now taken birth to serve the Supreme Lord's purposes. Soon you will acquire the weapons with which to defeat your enemies, even if they be celestials. I will bestow upon you my own irresistible weapon. Now I will give you the eyes to see me in my original form. Behold. Arjuna looked up and saw Shiva with his three eyes holding a trident, a divine serpent draped around his bluish neck. Arjuna bowed down and prayed, O great God, O highly exalted one, you are the refuge of all the celestials. The very universe has sprung from you. You are Vishnu in a distant, different form and are unconquerable by gods, demons, or men. Right? Because the universe, it's because Krishna is through his energies that the universe is created, but the energies transform. So his internal potency transforms into the external. And then Krishna then has a transformation as Shiva to, you know, take care of and support the external energy. So in this way, then you can say Shiva is creating the universe, but it's actually Krishna who's creating. But, you know, on the immediate, then it's him. O Shankara, please pray forgive me. It was only to receive your audience that I came to this mountain. Please pardon me for my rashness in fighting with you. I seek your protection. Shiva lifted Arjuna to his feet and embraced the Pandava. I have pardoned you. You are Nara, the friend of Narayana. Previously, you too chastised the demon hordes at Indra's coronation. Krishna is the supreme Narayana, and with him you will again punish the wicked. O Partha, take back your Gandiva bow. Your quivers will again become inexhaustible. There is no man on earth equal to you. Ask from me whatever you desire. Shiva handed the Gandiva bow to Arjuna, and Arjuna said, O Lord, if you are pleased with me, then I humbly ask that you bestow upon me your irresistible personal weapon known as Pashupata. You destroy the universe with this weapon at the end of creation, and with it, I may be victorious over Rakshasas, Danavas, Gandharvas, Nagas, ghosts, and spirits. It will enable me to emerge successful from the battle. I shall fight against Bhishma, Drona, Kripa, and the son of the Suta, Karna. Shiva replied, O son of Kunti, I will give you this weapon. You are capable of holding, throwing, and withdrawing it. Right? So that's the thing, is you have to be able to do all three. You can throw it, but you have to be able to hold it, because otherwise how can you throw it? You know, so you have to have the piety and the pious credit to have the power to do that. You have to be able to then know that, have the knowledge and have the qualifications to shoot it, but you also have to know how to withdraw it. Because if you can't withdraw it, then it creates so much trouble. Like Ashwatthama, he had only learned part of the weaponry for Brahmastra. So he could hold it, he could shoot it, but he couldn't withdraw it. So it would have destroyed the universe. He's so rash. It's like, so you never do that. But, you know, he was not in a proper state of mind at the time. Not even Indra, Yama, Kuvera, Varuna knows the mantras of this weapon. What to speak of any man? However, you must use it only against celestial fighters. You can't use it on ordinary people. The Pashupata should never be released at lesser enemies, or it may destroy the creation. Okay, if you just do it, it'll just destroy what's there. But if it's at a particular point, you know, celestial, and that power, then it'll go and counteract that power. This weapon is discharged by the mind, eyes, words, or a bow. So it means just in his mind he can send it. Or with his eyes he can just send it. Or with words, just by chanting the mantras, it'll go. Or you can, on a bow, you put it on the bow, and when you in the arrow, you chant the mantras, and the arrow will act as the Pashupata. No one in the three worlds of moving or non-moving creatures can withstand its force. So except for Vishnu, you know, and Brahma, no one else can stand its force. Arjuna then bathed for purification and stood before Shiva to receive the mantras, right? Because remember, there's a river going there. So that's proper. He can take his bath, he can do his meditation, now he can take his bath and receive the mantras. The god gave his weapon to Arjuna, and it then waited upon him, just as it waited upon Shiva himself. When the celestials saw the fearful weapon standing in its embodied form by Arjuna's side, the earth trembled, and the terrible winds blew in all directions. Thousands of conches and trumpets were heard resounding in the sky. Shiva said, "Now go to heaven and receive Indra's weapons." He then departed with Uma and his many followers. Are we on time?
Another 5 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a very special occasion, we see, that he's gotten this. So by getting Pashupata, by getting Shiva's weapon, then none of the other demigods can complain, oh, I don't know if I want to give mine and this and that. But if Shiva's is more powerful than any of theirs. And so then by getting his blessings, then, you know, then naturally they'll all be very pleased to give their weapons. When Shiva was gone, Arjuna stood for a few moments, gazing at the sky, awed by what had just transpired. He had seen the god of gods. The unknowable deity had touched him with his own hand. Arjuna now considered his enemies already vanquished and his ends accomplished. right? Because in the Dwapara Yuga, they had perfect memories, right? You know, so then they hear something once, they'll remember it for their life. So he doesn't have to remember, you know, think, what was the mantra? You know, like, Mahapashadi Govind. No, not that one. Yeah, so he doesn't have that problem. Arjuna now considers his enemies already vanquished and his ends accomplished. He possessed Shiva's irresistible weapon. Although he could not discharge the Pashupata at human foes, his very possession made him feel invincible. While Arjuna stood absorbed in thought, Varuna appeared before him, accompanied by the rivers personified, and many Nagas, Siddhas, and other lesser gods. Kuvera was also in attendance. His body resembled pure gold and seated upon a splendid chariot. Kuvera was accompanied by countless Yakshas. They stood before Arjuna, illuminating everything with their bodily effulgence. Arjuna also saw in the sky the god of justice, Yamaraj, approaching on his chair with mace in hand and flanked by the personified forms of death and time. On a nearby mountain summit, Arjuna saw Indra and his queen, Sachi, seated on the back of the celestial elephant, Airavata, and appearing like the rising sun. A white umbrella was being held over his head, and he was surrounded by Gandharvas and Rishis, who were eulogizing him with Vedic hymns, right? So the gods of the four directions, because, you know, they have their Indra will be in the east, then Yamaraj in the south, Varuna in the west, Kuvera in the north, because they're the Dikpalas, they take care of the directions. So then naturally they represent, you can say, the host of demigods, like this. Arjuna chanted numerous prayers in praise of the gods and offered them fruits and water. As he stood gazing in amazement, Yamaraj spoke, his voice as deep as autumnal rain clouds. You know, it's because the autumnal rain clouds, and they have the very kind of deep, low rumble and all that. It's not like the monsoon that'll be more of a strong. This will be very deep and very sober. Behold, O Arjuna, that all the world's protectors, the Lokapalas, have come here. We shall bestow upon you divine eyes. O sinless one, you are formerly the Rishi Nara. At Brahma's behest, you have taken your birth as a mortal. You shall vanquish in battle the powerful Bhishma and many other fierce warriors headed by Drona. The enemies of the gods, Daityas and Danavas, have taken their birth in the world of men. These shall be slain in a great battle in which you will play the main role. Your fame on earth shall be eternal. Right? So they're already pointing out that all these demons have taken birth on earth. And so now they're all these demoniac kings and this and that. They're all these demons. And so actually the Kurukshetra battle is actually a war between the demigods and the demons. But they're all coming, they're all in the, you know, these human forms. Like that. Yes. Okay. Yeah. So now then we shall see, you know, the next class, how they interact, how, you know, how he gains the weapons and everything like that. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada.